All right, welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Breakfast with the Gators, part of the Stadium and Gale Network and presented by our partner, Norris & Norris PA. Norris & Norris PA is out of Lake City, Florida, and they are a preeminent law firm serving North Florida since 1985. And you can give Guy a call at 386-752-7240 if you need any assistance with business law matters, real estate wills, or trust and estate planning. Well, if it looks a little bit unusual today, coming to you live from the car, just crossed the state line from Kentucky into Tennessee, parked outside of the McDonald's. So if you are questioning our commitment to bringing you guys content after an 84-77 win over Kentucky, we had a few chirps the last few days when we're going to drop another podcast, but some difficulty in Lexington, had to get a rental car. We'll be home about 2:30 in the morning, but all makes up for it after the Gators go into Rupp Arena, pretty much dominated that game for 34 minutes. Got a little weird at the end, but Will, how are you feeling?
Feeling good. You know, there's an old saying that says you got to be hated in order to be great, and I feel like we can apply that to the podcast. You know, only good podcasts get coached tough by their viewers because they know we're capable of so much more. So if anybody was worried that we were letting our foot off the gas or that we weren't focused or anything, much like the Gators the last 6 minutes of that game, think again. You know, we got people podcasting outside of the outside of a McDonald's somewhere in Tennessee, and you know, if Jacob Lovelace wasn't getting married, they might be calling in from his wedding right now. But shout out to him. Hunter's his best man. And Devin is in his wedding party as well. And but as far as the game goes, I thought it was great. The hour and a half of that game was probably the most fun we had had since probably February 1st when we beat Alabama's butt. But I mean, it really was flawless basketball for the first half, and then, you know, the first 12 minutes of the second half where we all kind of said you need to weather the storm of the Kentucky run, and it really didn't come. And game kind of changed when we started missing some free throws and stuff, but you know, so people might harp on the fact that we kind of took our foot off the gas and we got a little unfocused, missed a lot of free throws, had some uncharacteristic turnovers and let them back into the game. But I think it honestly, it's the perfect end of the regular season for us. You know, we are now in a position where, you know, we can't, you know, quote unquote, get the loss out of the way. But to get a little jump scare like that towards the end is, and give Todd, you know, reasons to yell at the guys, even though they largely played, superbly throughout the entire game. I think it was kind of the best of both worlds.
Yeah. And I think, a little sloppy, 10 turnovers, majority of those late, I felt like, or a few in transition. I thought we played really well, especially the backcourt of Xavier Lee and Boogie Flan might have been one of their best duo performances they've had to date. Combined for 27 points, I believe nearly 50% shooting, 11 assists, and 4 turnovers. Again, a few of those late. But I thought Xavier Lee was kind of the main focal point, with Alex Condon going out 2 fouls. And I meant to look this up, but with the travel I've had today, I was unable to get some research in, but, you know, Condo picked up 2 fouls in the first 4 or 5 minutes and had to go sit for a little bit. And that's when Kentucky kind of got the game in tight. 20-19 is the closest they got it. And I thought with Xavier Lee on the floor, and, you know, he finished again, 11.7 boards, 5 assists, and was just efficient. I would like to see how we extended that run. I think we went on a 16-3 or like a 19-3 run. Followed up that Kentucky run with another kill shot. I just thought, you know, this team, we've seen it on the road, at home, when other teams try to get within single digits or, you know, and within 12, 13 points, Gators go right back on an 8-0, 10-0 run, 13-0 run, and they just punch back so quick. There was one point, maybe Kentucky hit a 3, and in a blink of a second, you know, Tommy Houck's in the other wing hitting a triple right back to quiet the crowd as soon as Rupp gets on their feet. I thought that was – I was looking forward to the Rupp environment. I'm glad I didn't get to witness a lot of it. They were into it, you know, in the pregame, senior day, Denzel Aberdeen, Double O, and a few other guys getting honored. And then for the Gators, just go out there and punch them right in the face. 11-0 run was pretty awesome.
That it was awesome. And the way we did it too, you know, just – We get a nice little Reuben under the basket, kind of ballerina spin around, just dominating them inside. Condon does the same thing. And then back-to-back threes, with Boogie and Xavier, when I don't think Boogie's didn't touch any part of the rim. It was probably the sweetest shot he's hit all season. And so that made me believe that we were really going to run him out of the gym, and we pretty much did for the most part. I think to your point about when Condon went out, I think the game kind of changed when Baseline Brown came in, and he hits a three, he gets a nice and one. He makes very timely plays when he's in. His numbers didn't look all that great. He scored, what, 7 points, only 2 of 6 shooting, 1 of 4 from three. He probably should have.
What a big
I think he
three. He had 2 chances on one possession. He did knock down a big one late,
Yeah.
and Kentucky's trying to get on a little run.
That's what I'm saying, is he makes the timely shots there, especially against kind of the second wave that can, like the biggest thing with him is he allows our guards to get rest, and you don't really have to worry that there's going to be a scoring drop off, or a defensive drop off. Like, he boxes out really well, almost the way that Will Richard and Elijah Martin did last year. And so I thought he was very, very key there in the first half in helping us keep that lead extended throughout the rest of the game.
Yeah, I agree. Especially when you're not getting the contributions from Urban like we have seen the past 5 or 6 weeks. And credit to Kentucky, I thought they did a good job taking him out of the game, just like we did with Colin Chandler. I obviously wasn't in Gainesville for the home matchup against the Cats, but he had that spurt late that got him back into the game. But just 2 points on 1 for 6 shooting. I thought we did a really good job with the game plan. I allowed Otega to have some looks in that first half, but give credit where it's due. The guy is a career day for him. 4 for 8 from deep, and I think he started 4 for 4, 4 for 5. Didn't make
Yeah.
one in, I don't think he made one in the second half. Hit all 4 in the first. And even some Kentucky fans were rumbling there in the second half, like, man, you're not a shooter. Like, stop shooting the ball when they're down 13, trying to get back into single digits, and he's still jacking up a few, trying to
Yeah.
relive that first half moment.
It's pretty funny that all the Kentucky fans, if you ask them about Otega Oweh, and they'll tell you how overrated he is and how the Kentucky team stinks this year. But if you ask Jimmy Dykes, like, that guy has never liked a player more. He was embarrassing himself on the broadcast, talking about whether or not Todd Golden wants to go to Kansas or and all this stuff, and just praising Otega Oweh when Kentucky's down 16 points and we're dominating them. It was just hysterical. But yeah, Otega Oweh, 8 of 21 from the floor. So even though he hit 4 threes in the first half, very inefficient day. Denzel Aberdeen, talk about one of the worst decisions ever. He's 4 for 13 yesterday, and 1 of 6 from 3-point land. It was pretty funny when he kept getting the rebounds back a couple times and kept bricking them up there. I was like,
Yeah, we were
you're
having
better
a
at dribbling the ball, Denzel. Keep dribbling the ball. Stop shooting it.
we were having a ball in section 44 when he kept getting the offensive boards, and I think he went 0 for 3 in that possession alone. It certainly
It's
led to
just it's
Kentucky.
so funny too, because like Denzel, I think he is probably their best player, and he didn't have a very good game yesterday. And when he doesn't have a good game, it looks very bad. Like, it looks like he dribbles too much. It looks like he takes bad shots. But I have no doubt that if he had stuck around with the Gators, he would only be taking good shots. He would be distributing it
He'd be an
crazily.
all SEC guard. And
Probably.
we would be the front run, the focal point for him of being that first team all SEC guard if he had a year like we kind of imagined before he left.
Right, probably, and that's just a testament to how much better of a coach Todd Golden is than Mark Pope. But yeah, great day, great win for the Gators. I know it only ended up being 7 points, but you got to remember, I mean, I think the spread was only 4.5, 5.5, something like
Yeah, closed
that.
at
And
5.5.
yeah, so going on the road, covering the spread in Rupp, and in a game that was quote unquote meaningless because we'd already wrapped up the SEC. And it is great. You kind of heard the bit of a, is Florida going to show up focused? And then Denzel Aberdeen comes out for senior day, and Florida starts out with a 11-0 run to essentially in a wire-to-wire victory. It just,
Yeah.
this team is legit.
It was 2 games this year, 80 minutes played. I think the Gators led for 79 minutes and 25 seconds. It was tied for the other 35 seconds. Kentucky never led. I don't know if that's ever happened. I know we've swept them before in the regular season, but to lead and never trail for 80 minutes against that program. I know they're having a pretty rough year, but regardless, it's you still gotta go to Rupp Arena, and it just takes them making the first shot of the game to take a
It
lead.
also, I mean, and also Rupp Arena against Florida is very different than, say, you know, if Texas A&M comes in there on a Tuesday night or something like that, it is
Correct.
not going to be the same crowd as when the Florida Gators show up. Like, there was some debate on there as to whether Tennessee is a bigger rival than us. I don't know. It's kind of semantics, but we are definitely, you know, one of their biggest rivals. I think it depends on who's better that season. It was just, you know, part of the reason I really hoped we had closed it out with a massive beatdown like that is because I don't think I've ever seen a Florida team with that big of a lead in Rupp Arena.
I had a tweet in the drafts with the XX for the point differential, and it was going to be the largest margin of victories ever in Rupp Arena. The previous one was the 2016, and we obviously know what happened that year. So unfortunately, I had to delete that out of the drafts after the last, you know, 4 or 5 minute debacle we had. But 15 points is the largest we've ever won in a Rupp, and I don't know, I can't remember 20 years ago if we were up 20 in that game and. Or whatnot, but yeah, I've never seen the Gators up 20 in Rupp before that I can remember, and we were having a ton of fun. The Kentucky fans at that under eight timeout, I think there's 7:44 left, and we're up 18 at that point, and we just kept saying weather the 4 minutes. You know, first is the first 8 minutes of the second half. I think we actually extended our lead from 15 to 17 at the break to that under 12 timeout, get it up to 18 at the under eight, and seeing that place file out. I mean, just a sea of blue going up and down the rows, leaving. We're obviously giving them you know, some choice words as they leave early. We had a ton of fun, and I think the best part with Kentucky clawing back into it, we kind of let them back into it, was a half capacity Rupp Arena trying to will them back to something. You know, it took to the final 45 seconds, still got under double digits. It's like they were never going to win. But
No,
seeing
no.
them lifeless, trying to get them back was part of the fun as well.
It was pretty funny. There was a guy standing behind like the scorer's table, and Kentucky was down 12, and he's like motioning to his row to start getting up. There's like a minute and 15 seconds left, and he's like, "Come on, get up, we're coming back." I was like, "Man, these people—they've fallen off so quick. Just gotta win this meaningless game against Florida to get the 4 seed." In the SEC tournament and obtain the double bye. And then the fact that they get the 10, and oh man, it would be so sweet if they beat LSU and then beat Missouri and then we wax them in Nashville.
Yeah,
That would be a lot of fun.
they the Auburn game, you know, we did the wristbands, like the light shows and all. So Kentucky had I've been in attendance where the home team is now 0-2 with the light show. So something to monitor moving forward. If the Gators have that next year for a promotion, we gotta cut that.
Yeah, I think last year we had the light show for the Texas game, and that team, I think they won that game by 20 plus points. So,
I was not there for that, so I was
maybe it's just you, the
that's
combination
when
of
I'm in
you plus the light
attendance.
show.
Yeah, so no more next year, or I will voluntarily skip that game for the greater good of Gator basketball.
There you go. There you go. But all in all, great, great day. Like I said, you know, didn't close it out the way we wanted, but the fact that this team swept the Kentucky Wildcats, not many Florida teams have done that. Not even last year, you know, in the one shot we got to play them. So, you know, tough to go win on the road and Rupp. Just like it's the same exact thing as even when Florida's bad. Like if a team comes into the swamp, you know, Tennessee came into the swamp, they were better than us. Several times, and they, you know, finally got a beat us last year. But same deal, you know, hard to go into Rupp and win, no matter how good we are and how bad Tennessee or Kentucky is. So, congrats to the Gators, man. They played great. They've been great all season, all conference year, 16-2 for this team that literally could not shoot the ball is just pretty remarkable.
What I saw a stat yesterday. What did we finish shooting in league play this year from beyond the arc? Like 33.3%. That's the number.
Yeah, I think it was above 33%. I think actually in league play it may have even and no, I think it was like the last 10 games we've been closer to 40%.
Wow.
The Gator boys are getting hot at the very at the right time. I think I'm running some numbers on Torvik right now.
And up to 314th in the country shooting the three ball as well. So we were there in the 350s, 360s, slowly moving our way back up game by game, and not a better time to get hot. I know we started 6 for 10 in that first half, go 2 of 8 in the second half from deep. But still, I'll take 8 of 18, 44% from beyond the arc. And again, I don't know how many times we've harped on this, is the ball movement of our team. 20 assists on 28 made baskets.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these guys are willing to give the ball up, find the open shooters. You know, we saw a few yesterday in the win. It's just the unselfishness this team plays with, and that's just a credit to Todd and his staff for the culture they built. It's like, you know, we don't need one guy going off for 25 a game. If no. Six of another game with all five starters in double figures.
Yeah. And you kind of, I mean, you sort of get off games from the bench, really.
Yeah.
With them not scoring all that much. Talking about passing the ball and how well we do, one play that really stuck out was end of the first half, ball gets on the floor. First guy on it, Micah Hanlogged, and dives on
every
it.
Every time.
Kicks it. He makes a perfect pass from his, like, literally chest on the floor. Perfect outlet pass to get the break started. I was like, my goodness, man. Like, you look at his box score, 14 minutes, 0 for 3, 0 points, 5 rebounds, 2 blocks. Like, he had one put back that he probably should have made. But, you know, not a very pretty, not a glamorous stat line. But he just makes plays like that, that there are not a lot of other six men in the country that are throwing their bodies on the floor like that and just, you know, starting the fast break at 7'2". So what a luxury.
It's if they had the hockey assist, I think the hockey assist is like the two pat, like, you know, the first guy and then the other guy dishes it, kind of sets the break. I'd like to know how many Micah started this year just from laying on the floor and diving on a loose ball. That'd be a pretty cool stat to find.
It wouldn't shock me if the staff keeps track of all that. I mean, Jonathan Sapphire, your boy, he keeps track of pretty much everything. So they probably, they probably look so much further into what some of these efficiency numbers, because I think if you went on like Evan Maya or some of these other sites, like, you're not going to see Micah Hanlogged in as like this quote unquote, like, efficient player or, you know, like contributor or anything like that. But he just does things like that. He seems to always like get fortuitous tips, like, you know, that way they can't start a fast break or it slows down their ability to get a rebound, or he nearly gets a rebound or tips it to somebody. And so shout out to Micah, just playing really hard at all times and just making it count, even if it doesn't show up in the box score for him.
Yeah. And sorry, hold on 1 second. Car shut off. Didn't need this airflow going. My favorite part about Chindley yesterday is that crowd. Boy, they hated when he touched the basketball.
Traveled
every single time he got into the low post.
He did get away with one early, but he's just such a mountain and such a beast. So much fun to watch.
Well, you are staticky if you are. That just might be me just being in the McDonald's parking lot, but
you're a little staticky too, but we're kind of making it work.
Okay. All right. Well, if anybody has audio issues, we apologize. We just want to come give you guys a quick show. I know the people have been chirping us online, so we're making what we can do at this moment. We will have a big show Wednesday night. We've got Neil Blackman of Florida Basketball Hour and Saturday Down South coming on the show. Discuss the one seed implications. Obviously, UConn lost to a horrific Marquette team Saturday.
They spent too much time tweeting at Gator fans.
Yeah.
They didn't show up ready to play.
Yeah, well, I think that could be all you with that static. So,
I'm hearing a lot of static on your end.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll wrap up the show. Neil Blackman joins Wednesday. Talk SEC tournament, one seed implications. Where we go from there. Shout out to Ricky Castillo, Puerto Rico Open, the other PGA Tour event that is not, the golfers not at Bay Hill, the 100th victory for Florida Gator Golf on the PGA Tour. Shout out to our boy Chandler Blanchett, who came in second, Gainesville native, Eagles legend, and UWF golfer. So, great weekend of golf, great weekend of Gator basketball. We'll catch you Wednesday night again for another episode of Breakfast with the Gators.
Go Gators.
Go Gators.